am delighted that you have found the Mindset Mental Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest. My guest today is the awesome Tony Humberstone. Now, he is the founder and CEO of Vuba. They are a digital marketing partner who help businesses to grow online. I've known Tony now for a couple of years. He actually starred in a video on one of my websites because he very graciously allowed me to film his location. So it's a joy to see him. I can see him on my screen. You can't, dear listener, but he's got a fabulous Vuba sign behind him with Winston Churchill. So no doubt he'll tell us more about what that's all about. But welcome, Tony. It's lovely to see you this morning.
Yeah, lovely to see you too, Angela. Yeah, thanks for having me along. And so it's nice to catch up with you and see your lovely smile.
Oh, it's always lovely to see you. Now tell me, Tony, what is this about behind you? It says, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. What inspired you to have that sign behind you on the screen?
Well, I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill, obviously what he did for the country, but that is sort of like my attitude, really. I'm always glass half full and not a glass half empty. I'm a big believer in positive mindset, and even when times are tough, you can, you know, come out the other side positively. So yeah, that's always been, you know, something that I look at every morning. Obviously what he did for our country, I'm really interested in all the history of the war and everything. So yeah, it's just, and also V is V for victory, obviously, and V for Vuba.
V for Vuba. I mean, what a name. You can tell us more about that, I'm sure, as we go through. It's the most amazing name for a company, but I would say you embody that quote that's up there behind you. And if I was going to find a quote to sum up Tony, it would be that one. It's just a joy to have you on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to finding out what your three proudest moments are going to be. They can span any aspect of your life. So what have you got for us for the first one?
Okay, Angela. Well, I think the first one is sort of like the path into sales and then basically to the point of where we are now with Vuba. I was at a point, probably we're talking 25 years ago, where I was in a pretty sort of average job as a service engineer. I was obsessed by sport, playing sport, you know, I was into playing squash and golf, and I pretty much lived for sport at that time. And, you know, I wasn't really career-minded at all, but I got to a stage where I thought, right, you know, I need to start earning more money and grow as a person. I was very fortunate, actually, that I met a guy, my squash club, and he was a sales manager for British Telecom. And we had a game of squash one night. And after we played the game, we were having a beer in the bar after. And I said to him, I'm really sick and bored of my job. I need to do something different. And he said, oh, I think you'd be good at sales, Tony. That conversation basically led to him offering me a position at BT phone books, selling the good old BT phone, the phone book, yeah, selling advertising in the phone book. And it was something that I'd never done before. I'd never done sales, but he pretty much on the spot gave me a job, which was, took me by surprise. He sort of offered me something like a £10,000 pay rise with a company car. But I'll always remember he did say to me that it would change my life and sales was going to be tough. It was going to be a lot of hard work and not to think it was going to be an easy ride. Yeah, that was sort of where it all began. He then sent me to a sales training course down in Milton Keynes at British Telecom office, where I was with a lot of sort of highly motivated, driven salespeople, and they'd all been in previous jobs in sales. And I turned up, this guy that had no sales experience whatsoever. And I felt a little bit out of my depth, if I'm being honest. And the course was 3 weeks staying in Milton Keynes. It was quite full on. Yeah, I just managed to pass the course by the skin of my teeth, really. And then I went out into the field. And I always remember the first day we were doing the Halifax phone directory. And the first thing we did on any campaign was we used to do a treasure hunt where we used to get sent out knocking doors, good old fashioned cold calling, where we literally would walk the streets and just walk, knock doors, walk into businesses and try and get appointments. And the first day we went to Halifax, a few of my friends in my team said, oh, why don't we just go down the pub and play pool and we can have a few beers and we'll buy the local newspaper and we'll get all our leads from the newspaper. But I was determined to try and get off to a good start to my new career. So they all went to the pub and I went walking the streets of Halifax in February. It wasn't the most...
So glamorous.
It wasn't the greatest place to be walking around, but... Anyway, I remember walking through all these little villages and parking my car and just walking into businesses and knocking on doors. And the response I got wasn't great. It was not interested, or we advertise in Yellow Pages, or we advertise in Thomson Local. Thomson Local was really big in that area.
Yeah.
And anyway, I carried on and I was persistent and I was picking up business cards and chatting to people. And it got to probably 4 p.m. and I walked into this business that had a sign on the door, I'll never forget it, said Mortgage Search UK. And I knocked on this door and this guy answered the door, called Ian. And he said, I said, oh, hello, Ian. I'm from the BT phone book doing the local directory. And he said, oh, come in, Tony, would you like a cup of tea? So the next thing, I'm in his office and we're chatting away and he's got pictures of all his famous sporting stars on the wall and we're just talking away. And anyway, long story short is I walk out of there with an order for a half page advert in every single phone directory in the UK, which was, it was like an order for something like 64 grand. And my target for the whole, I think it was 8 weeks we had in Halifax, my target was something like 16,000. So I literally like crucified my target.
And then, on day one,
yeah. And earned loads of commission. And that was it, really. That was the start of it. That was where I just sort of, something clicked and I was sort of fortunate enough to have that skill or whatever you want to call it, sales, really, where I was lucky that I could connect with people and talk to people. And yeah, that's pretty much where it all started, really. The success.
I was just going to say, because it's, you talk about sales and you've used that term several times through the story, but then you've just used that word connect, and I'd say that's what your skill is, your ability to connect with people and have a conversation, a really authentic one, is what draws people towards you, as opposed to you selling, because I've never heard you sell. And even that story wasn't about you selling, you were connecting about sports and a shared passion, and that then builds the relationship which allows people to trust you, and you've got that skill in spades. How has that led to Vuba now then, and the business that you own?
Yeah, so I was at BT for a while and then I got a phone call from a new agency that was setting up down in Hammersmith in London called Reach Local, which was an American company. I got this phone call saying, no, this new exciting Google AdWords agency is setting up in Hammersmith and they want to talk to you. So I went down to Hammersmith. I'd always worked up north, so it was totally different. But I went down to meet the guy there. He's a guy called John Mazer, who was the boss, a really charismatic guy. And I just loved his energy and he's really cool and passionate. Anyway, long story short is I got the job and moved down south, which was a big step, very much a bit of a homeboy. But moving down, I just instantly loved London. I just loved the buzz and the excitement of it all. And every day felt like a Friday for me in London. There's always a busy, bustling atmosphere and I just really enjoyed that. So yeah, moved down and started with Reach Local and became like one of their top sort of in the top five sales consultants, whatever you want to call it. Yes, we used to sell Google ads to businesses and I just loved it and just grew a big base of customers and yeah, just literally kept growing from there. But after about 5 years, I just decided that, you know, I'd always had this vision that I wanted to set up my own business and I'd always wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. And I just felt that with the relationships I had at Reach Local, I just can do this myself. But it was a big jump. I was earning some good money at Reach Local. To sort of leave that nice, comfortable salary to set up on my own was quite scary, actually, at the time, because my daughter was probably only 6-7 years old. So obviously financial commitments were high, just like any family. So yeah, but I thought, you know, I'm going to go for it. And I did. And that was 10 years ago that I set up. Well, we originally were called PPC Stars because we mainly did Google Ads, pay-per-click advertising. But then, yeah, that grew. And now sitting here now, we're a team. I've got 40 guys in the team. We're a premier Google partner. We've got probably over 300 clients. And yeah, I'm really proud of what we've achieved. And we've got some really good relationships with clients, and we're helping them grow their business, which is what I love to see. I love to, you know, it's obviously we all want to make money, but I do still to this day get a buzz out of bringing a client on board and then helping them grow. Mm. And ultimately, you know, if they grow, we grow. Still drives me to this day, I guess.
I love that. If they grow, we grow. And what inspired the name Vuba?
We, like I said, we were called PPC Stars, and it just became a little bit dated because when we first started, we just did Google Ads and we built websites. But then a lot of our clients started to ask me, can you do our SEO, our search engine optimization? Can you do our social media? Can you do a new brand design for us, et cetera, et cetera? So we just felt that PPC Stars was a little bit dated. We wanted to have something a bit more modern, a bit cooler.
Yeah.
We needed something that would sort of stand out a little bit more. So we did a few, we sort of worked with a design agency and came up with different ideas. Yeah, we came up with Vuba, which instantly when we had all the brand guidelines done, I just loved it. I just thought it had a cool vibe. It had a lot of energy in it and it was modern. And I just felt like that just sort of was who we were, really.
And it sounds absolutely cracking when said in a Yorkshire accent, I think. Like, you can't beat it. Vuba, brilliant.
I love it. I mean, it doesn't have an actual, it's got an astrological meaning, which is all about motivation and energy. And that's really like all the things that I stand for as a person and what I'd like to say that we stand for as an agency as well.
I love that. So, I mean, it's not really a proud moment. It's a proud, like, several decades, isn't it, really, in terms of your journey from that moment at 4 o'clock when you won that first huge order to taking that brave step to leave the security of a salary and set up on your own. And now you've got 40 people helping businesses to grow. It's a fabulous story, Tony. Love it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah. Gives me goose pimples when you say
that. I bet it does. It's nice hearing someone else play it back, isn't it? In that way, what you've achieved.
Well, sometimes you don't think about it, do you? You get up every day, you get your head down on your laptop and you're visiting your clients and you don't ever sort of take a step back sometimes and look at where we are. Yeah, no, it's good to sort of look back and be proud of what we've achieved, really, as a team. It's not obviously just down to me. I'm very fortunate. I've got an amazing team. Some great people work for me and have worked for me for years. And also, we've got some great clients. A lot of our clients have built up some fantastic relationships with over the years, and they become friends. They're not just clients now. They're more like friends, and they know that if they need me, they can ring me anytime. So, big believer in that.
So a wonderful career story full of proud moments. And what would be your second one then?
I guess, you know, I'm really into my sport and fitness. But yeah, I guess about 2018, I was really out of shape and I've really got to change the way that, you know, I look after myself. I was probably drinking too much, which, you know, not your typical when you're working in London. It's very easy to get into the culture of you finish work at 6-7 o'clock and you go straight to the pub and have a few drinks, which, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed, and you know, they were great times, but just the lifestyle really of getting up at 5:30, flying into London, not doing any exercise, and like I say, having a few beers in the evening and getting home late, not sleeping enough and blah blah blah. So yeah, I had to really change something because I did burn myself out a bit. Actually, I had a few times where I hit the wall, as we say, which was quite scary. But I guess all part of learning and growing. But yeah, I just got into my exercise. I thought, right, I need a new challenge and I need to get fit. And I literally entered a half Ironman in
Mexico.
Yeah, never done triathlon ever, but some good friends of mine were really into it, and they said, oh yeah, come and do a triathlon. So I decided to enter a half Ironman in Mallorca.
So just break that down, Tony, for those who don't know what it involves.
It's 70.3 kilometres, the race. So you do a 1.9 kilometre swim, which is either in the sea or in a lake. It is 70 miles. Then you do a 90K bike ride, and then you run a half marathon. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a proper challenge. And anyway, I sort of got into doing that. I just loved it, to be honest. It was so just the energy and the motivation to do it. I just loved it. I really got addicted. So, yeah, I started doing a few of the triathlons, which, you know, from going from being overweight and unfit to getting into that was a real sort of proud moment, getting over the finishing line. I ended up doing five, but the first one I did, I mean, literally I was crawling over the finish line. It wasn't a particularly amazing time, but it then inspired me to obviously get better at it and work a bit harder. But it just got me into some really good habits, you know, got me eating better, got me drinking less, just looking after myself better, which obviously helps the mental health as well as the physical health. The endorphins from the running and the exercise really, and I think it helps me in business as well, because, you know, all the training I did was mainly in the morning. So I'd be getting up at 5:30 in the morning with a head torch on, running around the streets in the pouring down rain, and my wife thought I was insane. But yeah, it sort of just made me feel great. So, you know, once I'd done my exercise and get back home and have a shower and then, you know, get into work, I'd be it'd be like totally buzzing.
It's like operating in your best self all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yeah, doing those races was a big thing. I did the London Marathon. I did a few of bits and bobs. And then also in skiing, I got into doing some ski race, which I absolutely love. Being in the mountains for me is like just heaven, being fresh air and the scenery and all that. But we also did a race called the Inferno Race, which is a ski race in Switzerland, which I've done three times now. But doing that was epic, really, because it's like downhill skiing. So basically getting down as fast as you can, with 2,000 people doing it in one day. So it's pretty crazy, but
wowzers,
scares the hell out of you. But yeah, just doing stuff like that is really what motivates me, to be honest. It's when I do get, when I'm not working, I like to do stuff like that. I like to challenge myself. And it's not necessarily just about money for me. It's the freedom that money gives you to be able to do things like that. That's what I love, really.
And what's really inspiring about it is these are big feats that you're talking about in terms of the end game, you know, the race or whatever it might be. But it's about moving away from those worst self-behaviors, like the drinking too much or the not looking after yourself, and moving towards those daily habits that serve you better and then move you on to the race itself. And I always feel like people who can put in the effort to repeat those daily habits are the ones that overall feel so much better about themselves. So it's really inspirational to hear you talking about it. And I'm not surprised that you're proud of it. It's fabulous.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's good. It's just what you do next, really.
There's always that, isn't there? It's like you have to go bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's the problem. I mean, I've got no...
No switch off.
Climbing Everest is not, although it'd be great to say you've done it. I don't really fancy climbing up Everest. I think it's too dangerous. But yeah, it'd be good to. I'm constantly thinking as I get near the big five, I'm sort of thinking, right, what can I do? I need a new challenge. So yeah, there's always that going through my mind as well.
Well, we can't wait to hear what that's going to be then. Maybe you have to come back on the podcast next year and tell us what you've done. Now, tell us about your third proudest moment then. What does that involve?
I guess, yes, might be a little bit cheesy, but it'd have to be my daughter, really. I've only got one child, my daughter Millie, but yeah, she just really is, for me, my proudest achievement, really. I mean, we've always sort of tried to push her, but we really pushed ourselves by sending her to a really good school, which I'd never been to a private school or anything, but we've pushed ourselves financially to do that. And I'm not saying it's for every child, by the way, but it really was good for our daughter. She really was quite academic. So yeah, we put her into a good school. We worked really hard to pay the school fees, like all that every parent does if they go that route. It's obviously not cheap, but she really embraced it and she's really focused and worked hard. And I think both me and my wife got our own businesses, and I think she's sort of seen now what hard we've had to work and still do to this day. But just seeing her develop into a, she's 18 now, and just seeing her develop into this amazing young lady, and what just what she's achieved at school, and she's looking, you know, she's hopefully going to uni next. She's the head girl of her school, but not just the academic achievement, just how she is as a person. She's just a lovely person. She's very polite. She's got a lovely way about her. And yeah, I would just say that, yeah, she's 100% my proudest achievement. It makes me emotional talking about that, actually. But yeah, no, she's a great kid. And just being around her and being friends with her as a dad as well is very special. Yeah.
Oh, I love that term, being friends with her as a dad. That's lush.
Yeah, yeah, no. We go out and have a coffee. We go out and sometimes just do stuff, me and her, and it's just special time. We're just sitting and chatting, and, you know, I've always said to her she can talk to me about anything, whether she will talk to me about anything is another matter. But, yeah, we have a good chat. We go for a run together, which is great.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, just special, really, just to think that, you know, we've put a lot everything into her, like every parent does, but, you know, she's doing great, so I'm very proud of that, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, and you got the payback as well. That's the thing, isn't it? Some parents do everything for their child, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out the way that you're describing. So,
we've been very lucky, and I know it's not a lot of parents do exactly that, and the outcome's different, but it's not because they haven't tried, it just is what it is sometimes. But you know, we've been lucky, but we have put a lot of effort into making her the person she is today, and now she's off. She's passed the driving test, and it's like, goodbye. Oh. I'll see you. I'll see you when I see you.
What are you going to do with the empty nest syndrome, Tony, when she goes off to uni?
I'm just trying to work that one out, really.
You're like just not looking at it at the moment.
Those experts. I'd like to do a lot more travelling. I've had the thoughts of getting the old camper van and just to Europe and just traveling around. And I mean, I can work anywhere remotely, which is obviously one of the benefits of being in our industry. So I guess one day I'd like to give that a go, just do a lot of traveling and just have fun. Have a good time all the time.
Oh yeah, to that, love that. So definitely not cheesy talking about your daughter. It's beautiful, and it's that little phrase about being friends. I think we can all take something from that. So we've had literally one about work, a big one about work. We've had all of your sporting achievements and those underpinning small habits that moved you from worst self to best self. You've talked to us about your daughter and your lovely wife. What would you say then, if that those are all your proudest moments, what would you say is your ultimate secret to success?
It's always been quite basic and simple for me. I think just sticking to the basics of, you know, I get up early. I'm up early every day. I'm a big believer in that, getting out of bed and get going. I'm up at 6 o'clock most mornings, you know, in the gym early before work. So just all those little good habits. I mean, when I was, my first ever job many years ago was on a milk round, and a lot of people laugh at that, but actually that gave me so many good sort of, a lot of discipline. I worked for quite a strict guy, and I used to be banging on our door at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I'd do the milk round before going to school. So I still believe just good discipline, getting up early, being ready to go, working hard. I'm a big believer in, you know, if you work hard, you get the results. So just going back to the story about knocking on doors, a lot of people hated it because you would knock on a lot of doors and get a lot of rejection. But I was always sort of, I'd always keep going, and I'd always be thinking, you know, this next door might be that golden ticket, which it obviously was that on that one occasion. But it happened to me a few times, to be honest, and it has, and that sort of continued throughout working in VUBA, really. Just keep going, just work hard, be positive, have a good mental attitude, really. They're all the sort of basic principles that I stick to on a daily basis, really.
Well, I mean, it's summed up behind you, isn't it? Again, if we go back to Winston, that an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. That's what you're saying, is keep that open mind, keep positive, apply the discipline and work hard, and the success will come.
Definitely, definitely. I think I've learned, especially over the last year with the economy, it's obviously been challenging for a lot of businesses. It's been challenging for us as well, but it is a bit of a roller coaster ride, because, you know, you're up one minute, you bring on a new client, and then the next day you might lose a client because some sort of circumstances that you can't control. As I've had to sort of really go back to these basic principles over the last year, really, with the economy, because it is tough when you're running a business, because you know, always thinking about paying the wages at the end of the month. You're always thinking about, you want to keep all your team happy and motivated. So it can be challenging, but you know, having that positive mental attitude and always thinking, you know, that next email or that next phone call might be somebody ringing up that needs what we do. And it does keep happening. So
yeah.
I have learned over the years running the business that you've just got to be positive all the time. You really have.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it? Because what we focus on, we become. So I love that as an ending point for our podcast today, Tony. Thank you ever so much for coming on and talking so openly and honestly about your life and your proud moments. Really appreciate it. I'm sure you will have inspired many of our listeners today. So thank you for your time. I wish you a wonderful rest of the day. And dear listener, thank you for taking the time to listen to us. I'm hoping that you have got some nuggets of wisdom from the conversation, and we'll see you in the next episode. I am delighted that you have found the Mindset Mentor Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest.